Whether you use a traditional toothbrush or an electric one, chances are you've come into contact with fluoride. Many types of toothpaste that you buy at a grocery store contain fluoride as a way to fight tooth decay, and you'll also be given it on a trip to the dentist. But if you're in Prince George, you can get fluoride even without brushing your teeth. It comes for free just by turning on your tap. This has been the case since 1955, when Prince George became the first city in British Columbia to fluoridate its drinking water. It was following the advice of medical and dental experts who made the recommendations after 50 years of research, sparked by American dentist Frederick McKay. While setting up a practice in Colorado Springs in the early 1900s, McKay had noticed that many of the locals had large brown stains on their teeth. Researchers later determined that this was because of high concentrations of naturally occurring fluoride in the water supply. Back then, people called this the Colorado brown stain, but today it's referred to by the more scientific name of fluorosis. This is a purely cosmetic condition, one that either turns parts of your teeth bright white or, in more extreme cases like McKay saw, a deeper brown. And fluorosis is caused by exposure to fluoride, which raises a question. Prince George has had fluoride in its tap water for over 50 years. So why don't we have generations of people with brown stains or bright white spots on their teeth? And the answer is because researchers looking into the Colorado brown stain found that while high doses of fluoride can cause fluorosis, in lower doses, fluoride can help prevent cavities and dental decay without the stains. And once they figured that out, they embarked on what the American Center for Disease Control calls one of the greatest public health achievements of the 20th century, fluoridated drinking water.
Last week, the Minister of National Health and Welfare, Mr. Martin, announced that funds had been made available to the University of Toronto for the study of sodium fluoride and its relation to the reduction of dental decay. There has been some misunderstanding about the value of the treatment.
As soon as North Americans started putting fluoride in drinking water back in the 1940s, the debate was on. Optimistic advocates predicted whole generations of children raised without cavities. Opponents, though, had different concerns.
Dr. Dunn, is it true or false that sodium fluoride is a basic ingredient in rat poison?
Canadian broadcaster Gordon Sinclair famously challenged the practice of putting fluoride in Canadian water. Here he is on CBC's As It Happens, explaining why he took up the fight.
You know, the proponents of this chemical have never claimed that it is helpful to the teeth of people like you or me or any other adult or anyone over the age of 14 or 15. And therefore, I thought that it could be given in alternate ways to the children. I've never opposed the fluoride, Barbara, but I have certainly opposed and will continue to oppose the pumping of it into the public water supply.
And Sinclair was not alone. In the United States, anti-fluoride sentiment loomed at large, even prompting parody in the film Dr. Strangelove.
Do you realize that fluoridation is the most monstrously conceived and dangerous communist plot we have ever had to face?
It may have been ripe for parody, but to some, the idea that fluoride was a Cold War plot was no joke. Jonathan Kay is the author of Among the Truthers, an exploration of conspiracy theories from throughout United States history.
The thing about fluoridation is it was one of the first big public health movements that really affected people on an everyday basis. And it was completely invisible to you. It was largely tasteless. And you just had to go on trust that this chemical was going to improve your health as opposed to do bad things to you.
And this was happening during a time when people were increasingly suspicious of science.
You know, there was the atom bomb, and people were learning about radiation and radiation poisoning. And that was something else that you couldn't see, but which could do horrible things to your body. And so there was a lot of suspicion about drinking water, about, you know, what are we doing to our drinking water? Are we poisoning the population?
On no account will a commie ever drink water, and not without good reason.
Over the years, the anti-fluoride debate has evolved, from suspicious chemical to communist plot to the current movement to have it removed from the water in Prince George.
Water fluoridation is a political decision. There might be some science behind it, but today's science that is behind it is what's called consensus science.
At a recent presentation to City Council, anti-fluoride activists argued that new research is needed on the issue of fluoride. They also say it's costly when much of the water winds up on lawns and in bathtubs, and they raise the moral question of putting medicine in the water without the public's consent.
It is basically against medical ethics to prescribe.
Not so, says the pro-fluoride camp.
It is important to vote yes to keep water fluoridation in Prince George.
Dr. William O'Say is the chief medical officer for Northern Health. He's part of a coalition of doctors, dentists, and professors who have come together to make the case for fluoride. They say water fluoridation is safe, scientifically sound, and helpful to vulnerable populations.
Everyone benefits, especially children and those with low incomes.
And proponents have some major backup. The Yes Side is supported by the British Columbia Dental Association and Health Canada, with advocates flying in to make the case for fluoride as it goes to referendum on November 15th. But even with those credentials, the fluoride advocates may be stuck in a losing battle. In recent years, over 30 Canadian cities have decided to stop fluoridating water, including Windsor, Waterloo, and Calgary. However, the decision to remove fluoride in those cities might actually help the case to keep it in Prince George.
The disease is going to increase.
In Calgary, dentists say they've seen a spike in the number of cavities in young patients ever since fluoride was removed 3 years ago. Dr. Sarah Holland is a head of the Alberta Academy of Pediatric Dentistry.
We actually have an increase in the severity of the cavities we do see, and we see an increase in the rate that the cavities actually go from a small spot to a very large, painful cavity in the tooth.
The fluoride question will be on Prince George ballots November 15th as part of a non-binding referendum. It will then fall to City Council to decide whether fluoride stays or goes. But no matter what happens, one thing is for certain. Over 60 years of debate is nothing to spit at. For CBC Radio, I'm Andrew Criatta in Prince George.